Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio, and it's great to be back after taking a month vacation from our program. We are so thrilled to be back on this week. We have a fantastic show. Jazz vocal stylist Izzy Chait's going to be joining us in a little bit. We're going to hear some of his great music and also have a chance to talk with Izzy. We're really looking forward to this. And it's great to also have back handling the technical responsibilities, our studio producer Melissa Hovey, and of course our technical engineer Wayne Larson. Doing the music for us, Scott Carney, and from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and always on time, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Oh, well, good evening, Mr. Batson. I try to be on time. Sometimes I'm a little either way, but, you know,
I know.
Close enough. Well, tell us what's going on at the Batson Wildlife Preserve since spring is in the air and summer's not far off.
Well, I have to tell you, today we had quite the adventure. For some strange reason, our two wolves kept wanting to go outside and come back in, go outside, come back in. And I couldn't figure out what they were all hot and bothered about. So I'm in the back part of our compound, and I'm walking into the house, and all of a sudden I hear this hissing sound, and I hear something hit my shoe, and there was about a six-foot black rat snake coiled up by our back step. And that was what those wolves were so concerned about. So it was pretty cool, I have to
now,
tell you.
A lot of people aren't familiar with your wolves. They're just like, you treat them just like regular dogs. They come in and out as when they want. And,
right, yeah. Well,
and how exciting to find a big black snake outside your door.
Oh,
you're a herpetologist.
Lord. Well, you see, the wife wasn't nearly as excited as I was.
We would have been very excited.
So now I have the black rat snake in captivity. I'm going to use it for some lecture work, then I'll release it into the wild again. We want to tell everyone the following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to... Sharpen those pencils. WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, it's May 31st already, and this is the Wild World News. Well, a lot's happened since the last time we spoke on the airwaves. And tonight we've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to kind of scamper through the Wild World News like an aardvark. Well, Michael Craig was trying to be helpful when he reached down to pick up a stick in the gardening aisle of a Walmart in Lewiston, Idaho, only to discover that the stick was a rattlesnake, and it bit him on the hand.
Oh.
Now, you know what that's like.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's quite an experience. Well, Micah, he's going to be all right. He remained in the hospital till yesterday. He's out, and everything's fine. I think Micah should maybe have went to Lens Crafters first, picked up a new pair of glasses.
For it. Oh, I don't think he has that problem because he probably has the ownership of a Walmart now.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's well off.
Well, let's head out to the west coast. A kayaker was attacked by a 14-foot great white shark as he and his friends fished off the coast of Central California. Yeah, now Joey Nachi said that the shark took a 22-inch bite out of his kayak. Yeah, he said the shark slammed into him from underneath and he was pushed 4 to 5 feet out of the water, but he wasn't hurt.
Well, that's his lucky day, huh?
No kidding, yes.
Yeah,
it ended well. Now, you got a couple of big black bears there on your wildlife preserve. Do you have anything special for them to make them comfortable?
Well, on a hot day, they enjoy being sprayed down with a water hose.
Well, listen to this story. A 200-pound black bear that swiped some blankets and pillows from a western Montana cabin to line his makeshift den in the crawl space has finally moved on. He moved in January, yeah. Moved in January, and it's taken him this long to get on his way. Well, so there you go. So just take some blankets and pillows out. And...
Oh, is there a video available?
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, he has recently, the bear has been recently sighted at Bed Baths and Beyond.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Thanks at all.
All right, I made that part up.
Okay.
Now, are your tortoises out cutting the grass for you as we speak?
Yes, they are. Well, they're sleeping right now, but early in the morning they'll be up, back to work.
Well, here's some good news. Cumberland Island, Georgia, the first loggerhead sea turtle has been spotted nesting there.
Cool.
So for all of our listeners, beware, they're going to start shutting down the beaches there along Cumberland Island, and you're going to have to watch out for the turtles. Now, here's a shout-out for all you gypsy moths.
Uh-oh.
Stay out of Madison, Wisconsin. About 19,000 gypsy moth traps have been set to trap you guys. So,
yeah, stay clear.
Stay out of Madison.
I'm sure they're listening.
All right, Ricky Tikki Tavi, the mongoose is gone. Honolulu, Hawaii, an organization fighting invasive species, said a live mongoose has been captured on Kauai for the first time.
Hmm.
Now, the male mongoose was found in a trap at the Kauai Lagoons Resort. Now, they've been trying to trap. They didn't know what it was for sure. For 2 months, they finally caught up with this little mongoose.
Well...
And as we remember, the mongooses were brought in to fight the cane snakes, and then they had to bring in something to fight the mongooses. It was a cat, and then they had to bring in a dog to fight the cat, and then they had to bring in something to fight the lion to fight the dog.
Yeah.
It's just a mess.
Yeah. The thing is, don't fool with Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's right. All right, now here's some good news and some bad news. Radioactive tuna has finally reached the U.S. waters. Bluefin tuna containing radioactive contaminants from Japan have arrived at the U.S. shores. Now, that sounds like bad news, but all the research, everything said the levels of the radioactivity is still far below the U.S. safe to eat limit. So I plan on having tuna tonight myself.
We had that last night. Well.
Yeah, so go ahead and eat the tuna. It's safe. They're just keeping an eye on things. Now...
What if you eat the tuna and you're glow in the dark?
Yeah, if it glows in the dark, I wouldn't eat it, yeah.
Okay.
All right, I think they could use your help in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina.
Oh,
I think they need some more educating.
Oh,
it's going to make you a little bit mad. A 13-foot alligator was killed after it grabbed a soccer ball near some children and had already eaten 2 baseballs. A tennis ball, a couple of other oddballs, 53 fishing lures, 1/2 pound of lead sinkers, 48 rocks, and another 4-foot alligator.
Wow.
Yeah, the alligator was captured several days after it had taken the soccer ball and spit it back out.
Well,
I think we need to teach the people not to throw balls, rocks, fishing lures at alligators.
No, and I saw a show on the Discovery Channel that where they were watching these youngsters feed alligators marshmallows, and when they went in to ticket the youngsters, they informed them that all those alligators that they'd been feeding marshmallows to will have to be destroyed.
That's right.
Yeah, because now they're look to people for food or as a food source, so that's always a problem.
Yeah. Now, see, you just have to think, people. You just have to think. Now, here we go. The Virginia Aquarium in Virginia Beach is conducting an online contest to name its new male baby otter, adopted after it was found alone near St. George, South Carolina, apparently abandoned by its mother. Now, Mr. Batson and I will tell you that when finding young animals alone in the wild, go against your instinct. They can be seemingly defenseless, but people often needlessly rescue these animals that were probably not orphaned to begin with.
Right.
99 times out of 100, wild animals should not be taken out of the wild.
That's right.
So we shouldn't be naming a baby otter at the Virginia Aquarium.
Yeah, no kidding. That's too bad. Well, I've already had several calls on people that have found rabbit nests and deer. I just tell them, leave them alone. Mom will be back.
Mom is somewhere close by.
That's right. If mom's not supposed to be back, that's this Mother Nature's rules. So.
All right. Now, in Baraboo, Wisconsin, the International Crane Foundation is giving the world a chance to watch a baby whooping crane grow up. Now, the foundation launched its Crane Chick Cam, and it's a streaming video of the endangered youngsters. So if you want to watch these little babies grow up, go to www.cranechickcam.org.
Okay.
And we have a good friend who just does that very same thing.
Who might that be?
Well, one of our previous guests. Let me think if I can pull his name.
Oh, Jeannie Harrell.
That's right, Jeannie Harrell.
Very good.
Dancing like a crane.
That's right.
All right. We lost a folk icon this week. One of the greatest musicians ever, Doc Watson.
I heard.
Let's have a moment for Doc.
Oh, man.
Big
too
loss.
Bad.
Big loss in the music industry.
Yes, it is.
All right, well, we're running a little long tonight. Let's get on with this. Here's our fact of the day. Giraffes are the only animals born with horns. Both males and females are born with bony knobs on their forehead.
Oh.
Now, here's another fact for all you bug lovers. There are 1 million ants to every human in the world.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah. All right, that's the Wild World News for May 31st.
Once again, an admirable job done by Dr. Henry Day and his Wild World News staff. We always appreciate the efforts he puts into each week's broadcast. How many million to a person?
Yeah.
4 million?
1 million.
Oh,
per
1 million.
Person.
That's bad enough. Check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And why not listen to my show every Sunday, the 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 at RadioMom.fm. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's Country. Go, folks. If you've never been in that part of the United States, you owe it to yourself to visit. Go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs, and I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life on stages with 10,000 people watching. We're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you unkind, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me, but you can see right through me. 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song.
The sounds of Izzy Chade right on our program tonight, and I have to tell you, Izzy, starting off, that is one of my favorite songs ever written, song for you. That's just fantastic.
That's one of my favorite songs, too.
We finally have you on the show. It seems like we've been planning this for a long, long time, and you are now, we'll tell our listeners, you're involved with taking ballroom dancing lessons.
Well, thank you. I just missed that last thing you just said.
Well, I was telling our viewers where you were located at tonight, taking ballroom dancing lessons. I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm located here in West Los Angeles at the moment. You would call it Westwood, actually.
Yeah.
And like I said, my wife is making me take ballroom dancing lessons. She's become very sort of, I don't know if obsessed is the right word, but she's very interested in and has a good time doing it. And, of course, since I never danced my whole life, because I was always too nervous and too afraid and, you know, afraid I would be stepping on somebody's foot or looking like some kind of an idiot, I didn't know what to do, so I just stayed away from it. But now I'm doing it and I'm having a good time. But, you know, your show is fascinating.
Well,
I was listening to all that stuff about the animals. You know, I love animals, and I, you know, I remember the zoo and the World Wildlife Foundation, and we have pets, and you know, it's just quite amazing the facts that you guys are coming up with about, you know, a million ants to every human being. And I'm thinking to myself, if there's a million ants, how many flies? or how many cockroaches? or in the South, how many June bugs?
Yes. Work on that, Dr. Day. Find that out.
I will.
But, you know, in L.A., we have different kinds of wildlife problems.
Wildlife problems
usually have to do with people driving these overpriced and overpowered cars, you know, Mercedes-Benzes and BMWs and some people with Lamborghinis, and they're driving like they're doing the Indy 500, but we're nowhere near Indianapolis.
Oh, I've been in that before. I forget what is that main big huge highway, 409 or something? It goes right through
405. The 405 is, and they've been constructing it now, and they're going to keep constructing it for about another 2-3 years. Because they made a mistake when they first built it. They didn't make it wide enough. They didn't put enough lanes in. So it's like a parking lot, just a giant parking lot that runs for 100 miles.
My gosh.
It's pretty wild. But just getting back to the aspect of wildlife again,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about musicians and wildlife, the wildlife in a musical group or band or whatever is usually the drummer.
Oh, yes.
You never know what the guy's going to do.
Oh, absolutely. And usually the womanizer in the band is the bass player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're so cool.
Oh, absolutely. We had on Tim Bogert, who used to play in a rock band called Vanilla Fudge.
Uh-huh.
And Cactus and Beck Bogert and Apathy. And he confirmed that. He said, absolutely. He says we're the worst. I mean, we give the musicians the bad reputation for sure.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is most guys who do it professionally are really straight. They got, you know, wives and kids, and they got sometimes they got day jobs, but they have their I'd say their ethical hats on, because mm-hmm. they're usually God-fearing good people, and their wives usually are gun-carrying, so they know they can't do any of this stuff. You know, some of the states here in the U.S. got open carry or concealed carry, and it's usually the women carrying.
Oh, I never. You're absolutely right. Well, you know, you led quite the fascinating life. I mean, when you were talking about your day job, you're one of the most well-known auctioneers in Beverly Hills in the Los Angeles area. And I was interested because you specialize in particular items.
Yeah, we do. It's very fascinating. And I've been doing it for almost 45 years. So let me tell you the story of what happened.
Okay.
In 1965, the end of 65, you know, during the Vietnam War, there was a time where you could, you know, when you got drafted, which I was, you could go in the Army or the Marine Corps. So I picked the Marines. And, of course, I got sent to Vietnam, and I was in Chu Lai in 1966. And I was in Okinawa, and I was all over Southeast Asia. But
wow.
I just absolutely fell in love with everything having to do with Asia.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the food, the, you know, just the languages, everything about it. So when I came back and went to school, I just sort of, you know, messed around a little in school. But on the side, I was buying and selling some Asian art. And I learned quickly with the difference between real things and fake things and that sort of stuff. And then I decided when I was in graduate school, I just drop out and open a store,
wow.
which is what I did. And about 10 years later or 15 years later, I got to the point where, and I was doing music at that time too, and I quit because I couldn't take the lifestyle of playing in clubs at night until 2 o'clock in the morning and then having to be in class at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
You know, and plus when you're young and that age and you're sitting and playing in a bar and everybody's buying you drinks all night long.
Oh, man.
You drink them.
Yeah.
So you got to pour yourself in the car, and it's hard to get home in one piece, and it's hard to wake up in the morning. So I quit music for 25 years. But what I did do, like I said, about 10 or 15 years after I started buying and selling stuff, is I figured out that I could buy the stuff and get the stuff a lot faster than I could sell it. So I said to myself, what's the solution to this problem? And I found that the solution was running an auction, because you could sell 400 or 500 items in a few hours.
Yeah.
Instead of taking like months to sell 400 or 500 items. So I became an auctioneer. And then about, that lasted for a long, I mean, it's still going on, but we still specialize in Asian art. But one of my kids was always fascinated with things having to do with space, and also with dinosaurs and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to myself, let's do some homework. I bet you that you can really buy dinosaurs and bones and meteorites and all kinds of things that have been around for millions and billions of years. And people are selling it. They've been selling it, you know, in England and some in the U.S., but
mm-hmm.
nobody really made a big deal out of it. So I said, let's do it. So we do that, too. We sell dinosaurs.
Oh,
we sold a 30-foot dinosaur just a few weeks ago.
Okay. Cool. What does a 30-foot dinosaur go for?
Well, certain kinds bring millions, which you can hardly find. But the average one brings anywhere from 50,000 to a couple hundred thousand.
Oh, my.
you know, expensive, but if you're, you know, if you want something that nobody else has got,
yeah,
you know, you can do that. Or you can buy like the head of a prehistoric animal, you know, for a few thousand dollars, or you can buy a T-Rex tooth for, you know, $800, or those sorts of things. You can buy meteorites for a few dollars. Some are very common, but if you want a piece of Mars or a piece of the moon, you got to pay a lot of money for one of those.
I bet it is just exhilarating to be around such an item.
It is. It is. The most exhilarating part, for me anyway, is when we invite schools to bring kids.
Oh, my.
And you see these kids, and their eyes open up as big as plates, and their mouths open up, and they just don't know what to think or what to feel. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you think you never have a chance to be involved. I mean, you talk about the wild world of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Here are animals that lived on Earth 75 million years ago, and they're not around anymore. You know, you have remnants of them and fossils, and their bones have turned to stone. But you can find these things, and you can learn about them. I mean, you know, some of us old musicians turn into fossils, too, but that's another story.
Well, you certainly made a point with me, because that's what I do prefer for a profession mainly, is we take wild animals to schools.
Yeah.
And have for 32 years, so. And these children, boy, I mean, that must be so satisfying to see the looks on their faces and the wonder in their eyes.
It's really satisfying. The other really satisfying thing about children is, interestingly enough, kids love the Great American Songbook. Kids love jazz from the 40s and 50s. Kids love rock and roll from the 60s. They just, the littlest kids will just move with the music.
Mm-hmm.
They just have such a good time listening to it. It warms your heart when you have an audience of children like that.
I'll bet.
Yeah,
Wayne, let's hear a little bit more from Mr. Izzy Chates. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you my story. They used to tell me we were building a dream. And so I followed the mom. When there was earth to plow, or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me we were building a dream with peace and glory ahead. So why should I be standing in this line, just waiting for some bread. Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done, brother. Can you spare a dime?
The sounds of Izzy Chate with us tonight. We're going to take a short break. What a great show. This show's not long enough. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
this week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Cassie, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, not.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We're going to be back with Izzy Chait in just a little bit. Hear more of his music, this fantastic jazz vocalist. Quite an honor to have him on the show tonight. And also, he loves animals, so hey, he's a friend of our show. We want to also mention that next week on the program from Idaho State University, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, and we'll be talking to him about his book and several projects involving, well, his book, Legend Meets Science, Sasquatch. So should be a great show next week, so we hope you tune in. We want to tell you all shows are available online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. And they're on there forever, so we encourage you to listen to shows from the past. Great shows, just like the one we have tonight. Also, a big thank you to Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They've worked on our truck. We're heading off to Washington, D.C. this weekend with Benny Williams, and we really appreciate the effort that they've put in to make sure we travel thousands and thousands of miles safely. Their phone number is 317-243-0700. Also, the iKidsFishing.com. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA, starring kids and teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York. And we want to tell everyone what a great time we had at the very first of the month when we were there for the first annual Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo with our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, and also Wayne Larson, our good friends Billy Roller and Steve Calls. I want to tell everyone, go to that website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. You can actually watch the entire programs that were presented. Over 6 hours is available. Also, plenty of T-shirts and things are still available, so that's at ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. We also want to thank all of our individual underwriters that support our show. Go to LarryTheAnimalGuy.com and contact me on how easy it is to become an individual underwriter and make it possible for us to be on. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Just hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
On our program tonight, and it's a great honor to have him all the way from Los Angeles, California. Izzy, man, it must be quite a feeling of power to go on stage with those musicians you've assembled to back your fantastic jazz vocal stylings.
It really does. What the songs that you're playing are songs that are coming out in a new album that should be finished and done, I hope, by the middle of summer, maybe August. And most of the ones that you've been playing, we played with what I like to call the Ray Charles alumni band.
Wow.
All these guys that were playing with us and recording with us toured with Ray for, you know, a decade or more. And
wow.
Some incredible musicians. I'm doing a show tomorrow night, actually, here in L.A., where I have my normal band, and we've got some of Ray's guys coming to sit in, and I've been touring, and we were just in Nashville with Scarlett Rivera and some of the guys that were in Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder tour band.
Oh,
and there's just fabulous musicians out there, and all they want to do is make music, and that's all I want to do, you know? We have the greatest time, but I have to commend you on your show.
Oh.
It's something that I'd never heard before, and even those commercials, you know, the Smokey the Bear forest fire thing, it's like, it's so cool, and then adopting pets from the animal shelters. We've always adopted pets, and we're into pit bulls now.
Oh.
So, I love pit bulls, and we never would think about going to buy one. You get one that's in the animal shelter. They're wonderful creatures, and they've all been taken care of and cleaned up, and they got their shots. And what's more perfect than having an animal at home to take care of your kids and to give you a great deal of pleasure.
And they are a friend beyond friends.
Exactly.
I mean, you can have the worst day in the world and walk in that front door, and they make everything okay.
That's right. That's right.
it's phenomenal. Well, I'll have to tell you, I don't mean to bring the conversation to me, but we're raising a baby baboon.
Wow.
And that's a whole different deal, Izzy.
Wow.
In fact, right now it's watching television. It's about time for bed. Its favorite shows, it watches The Simpsons, Two and a Half Men. And when those two shows are not on, it watches the Sprout Channel. We cannot watch Animal Planet because there's certain things about Animal Planet will get the baboon quite upset.
Right.
And it's let's put it this way, that baboon is an entertainment mecca.
No, apes are amazing creatures and so smart. You just look in their eyes, you can tell that they understand what's going on. You can look in the eyes of practically any animal, but especially an ape, you know, the relationship between between life and understanding is something that they actually have.
Well, you see a lot of wisdom. And
yeah.
I'll tell you a very funny story very quickly here. I have a good friend who rescued a chimpanzee from a basement here in southern Indiana. And basically the chimpanzee had attacked its keeper and crippled her. And he was able to get the chimp. He trained it to mow his grass on his riding lawnmower. And he said I'd have to mow the perimeter, and then he'd get, and he said he really did a better job than I did. But the funniest story I can remember, he said that one night they were packing on to go on a trip out of town, transporting several animals, and believe it or not, the chimpanzee was actually helping them load the trucks. Well, the
I totally believe it.
Yeah. Well, he knew where the soda pop was at in the refrigerator in the camper. So he goes up and he decides he wants to have a Coca-Cola. One of the guys that was helping out decided he would see what Sinbad was up to. And when he saw him reach in the refrigerator and pull out a Coke, he told Sinbad, he says, "Are you supposed to have that?" The chimp turned around, looked at him, slammed the Coke down, followed him out of the camper, picked up a 2x4, and nearly beat that guy to death. I mean,
what's the one thing about apes that most people underestimate is their intelligence and their brute strength.
Oh,
you know, they're incredibly strong creatures and incredibly smart, but they are what they are. You know, it's takes a while to get them to do what you know to do and get along in what we call modern civilization. But you know, people sometimes don't behave much better.
No. No, we can learn a lot from the animals. I'll say that from the very beginning.
No, absolutely. And related to music, animals love music, especially apes.
Yes.
And some of them can actually play music. I've seen chimps and gorillas and orangutans that have learned how to play the piano and pluck strings on a guitar or a harp and they can tell one note from another. You know, maybe perfect pitch is something that's native to all species. Who knows?
Oh, I completely agree. I had a baboon once that would listen to the radio and tap its it had a bucket, and it would tap the bucket in perfect time with the music.
Right.
I mean, it was absolutely incredible. You know, you know, you've got a pretty incredible story because you left music, as you were talking earlier, for 25 years.
Right.
And one night you were on a cruise ship? Did I get the story correct?
Yeah, I was on a cruise ship in the Caribbean and with my wife and some people we knew and some friends. And it just happened that I knew some of the people that were in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had told them that I used to be a singer. Somebody said, "You want to come and sit in with the band?" And I said, let's do a blues in G, a 12-bar blues in G, kind of a medium swing, you know, medium speed. And I did Every Day I Have the Blues, and then I did a little Dirty Blues, and I did a little all kinds of stuff. And then I said, "How about a little Chuck Berry?" And we did some Johnny B. Goode, and I said to myself, I said, "Wow, why did you stop doing that? What a dumb thing to have done." And so I said, and so I made myself a promise. And it was also very interesting too, because you know, when you're young, and especially when you're a musician, you might overdo alcohol. I never was interested in drugs, but I overdid a lot of alcohol. And I sort of needed that as the lubrication to sort of to ease the pain between me and the crowd. But then I found myself on this ship, and all I had was some iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I was digging it. And I said, "Wow, I can do this, and I don't have to drink." You know, and then an interesting story. I used to hang out in this Italian restaurant in Beverly Hills, and Dean Martin was always there. We had this long conversation about, you know, when he would do his TV show, and it always looked like he had a glass of whiskey in his hand. And I asked him, you know, what the story was. How could he, like, keep drinking like that and still sound so good? He said it was iced tea. The guy wasn't drinking at all. And I said, hey, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You don't mess up your vocal cords. You don't fall off the stage. You know, when you hit a note, you know for sure it's the right note.
Right.
You know, it's a wonderful thing. And am I sorry I quit for 25 years? Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I could have been famous and had Grammys and stuff like that, but you know what? It ain't too late.
No,
it's never too late. And, you know, Chuck Berry, he's 82, I think. He's still singing in a little club near where he lives. And I, you know, I'm 66. I figure I got another 15 years for sure. And I want to keep putting out more and more music.
Well, we hope you do. Do you find now at your age that you're more focused than you were 25 years before?
Oh, absolutely, because I have a great deal more experience. You know, I have a great deal of experience about life. I have a great deal of experience about, you know, music is a funny thing because it's not just the creation of something aesthetic and beautiful that touches people's hearts and souls and all that, but it's also related in some ways to business. You know, you have to have some business sense because you could get taken advantage of or you can make a lot of big mistakes. Some of my best friends who are, you know, incredible musicians, you know, became famous, like Isaac Hayes, for example, one of my dearest friends.
Sure.
A lot of his music got sampled and he never got a dime out of it because of bad contracts he wrote when he was young. So that part of it is something that experience is really good and really helpful with. But let me just tell you that the greatest pleasure for me in music is delivering a message to an audience because the wonderful songs. I've written some stuff I do is original, but most of what I do is from the Great American Songbook. And delivering a song that with a message that's carried on the music itself like a carrier wave and gets to the people, and you can see in their eyes and in their faces that they actually understand what you're trying to communicate to them. There's nothing more pleasurable than that.
And I have found, because I've listened to your CDs a lot in the last few weeks, that you make every word mean something. I mean, it's just...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I'm sure that when you started singing again, that a lot of the, I don't know if tricks is the right word, but to work an audience, to present to an audience, that's not an easy thing to do and do it well.
No, thank you.
It's very
important, you know, because the audience is going to be there or not going to be there. And I don't care if the room, I mean, tomorrow night we're playing at the Culver Jazz Club, and the first show is totally sold out, and the second show will be sold out. But I wouldn't care if there were five people in the audience, because those five people are just as important as the 200 people who are going to be there. And I'm going to deliver the same quality of communication, no matter if it's five people or 200 people or 2,000 or 20,000, because they deserve it.
And there is a special feeling that goes through one's body when you have everyone in the palm of your hand.
Right, exactly. And those, you know, if you've lived for a long time, you know, if you're middle-aged or elderly or whatever you are, if you've lived for some time, you've had a lot of wonderful experiences with music where you heard a song and it had an emotional impact on you. Sometimes with such emotion that it's practically a religious experience. It just, you know, you pop out of your body and out of your head and you're floating up in the stratosphere somewhere, and just digging the music. And that's what music is all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife and I like to say when we watch a performer, you can see a look in their eye, and you can we say to ourselves, well, he's gone. He's left us. He's entered that dimension of performance that he's not self-conscious. He's just totally in concentration of every word, every lyric, every musical note played. And it's to see these performers do that is just something very, very special.
It is. It is. And there's great performers out there. And you know, it isn't a matter necessarily of talent. It's wonderful to have talent. But it's a matter of being in the right place at the right time and delivering to the right people and being recognized. It's like it's great that these shows are on TV, you know, American Idol and The Voice and those sorts of things, because they're finding people and recognizing that they have incredible talent and wonderful voices and applauding the people for doing that and giving them the opportunity to perform for large groups of people, which is wonderful.
But it doesn't replace all those hours and days and nights spent in a club, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you still have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to work on the set list. And you still have to rehearse with the band. And it still has to fit perfectly. And every musician has to be, I don't know about top-notch, but every musician has to be competent in doing what they're doing so that the whole thing gels and melds into one perfect experience. And then, you know, if you're in the studio recording and you want to do an album, sometimes you have to do the song 4 or 5 times or 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sinatra had the luxury of going in and doing it once or twice, and then it was done, and it was perfect. I like to say that, or at least like to think that I do almost as good a job in that I don't need to do things that many times to really get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when we were in Nashville just a few weeks ago, we recorded 3 more songs for the album with some fabulous performers, just absolutely great guys, the Grammy winners and people who were top-notch musicians. And in less than 2 days, all the music tracks, the musicians' tracks, were done, and my vocals were done. Everything was done in less than 2 days, and then we rehearsed and we did a concert the next day.
Oh, man! Don't you just love
so
that?
It doesn't
hell
have
no?
to take forever if you really know what you're doing.
Oh, I'm telling you, that is such an inspiring town too. I've been there, let's see, 3 times, and it's just to walk down there by Tootsie's and the Bluebird and Ernest Tubbs' record store, you just feel musical. I mean, even if you didn't play it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just absolutely.
There's only one dangerous thing about Nashville.
What's that?
Whatever amount of food that you normally eat or are served in a restaurant,
you're
they
right.
serve you one and a half times to double. so you better watch out and not eat it all.
That is so true.
And the food is really good.
Oh, I'm telling you, I really treasured my trips to Nashville, man.
Yeah.
Our guest tonight, Izzy Chait, we want to hear a few more or another selection from Izzy. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Instant karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you right on the head. You better get yourself together now, but pretty soon you might be dead. What in the world are you thinking of? Laughing in the the face of love. What on earth are you trying to do? Well, it's up to you. Yeah, you. Instant karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you right in your face. You better get yourself together now. Come and join the human race. How in the world are you gonna see? Laughing at fools like me. Who on earth do you think you are? Some kind of superstar? Well, damn right you are. And we all shine on like the moon and the stars and the sun. Yes, we all shine on everyone.
Wow, that's just beyond cool, Izzy. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
man.
You.
What a perfect
John story. Lennon. John Lennon was a real genius.
Oh my Lord.
But I wasn't all that happy with his original version, so I figured we could do something a little different that would deliver the exact same message that he intended.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the bass line in that recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
great thing, I've been back into music now for about 15 years. The
mm-hmm.
great thing is I get to work with some wonderful musicians, fantastic arrangers, wonderful producers. I mean, these guys are just, they're genius, and they care about it, and they care about me, and they recognize that what we're doing is something for posterity, and there's a legacy there. And that's what I want to build now, is my legacy of music for the future.
Well, you've done an amazing job. Tell everybody where they can find your music at.
Well, you can find it at izzychait.com. And we're on Facebook, Izzy Chait Music, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we're on MySpace. Yeah, Izzy Chait Music in MySpace. And they can download stuff from iTunes and Amazon and all the usual places that people, you know, get music.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of downloads. You know, it's an electronic age.
Oh, sure.
And everybody's got an iPhone or a computer, and, you know, they can listen to whatever they want to listen to. And we still get a lot of airplay. Music is a wonderful thing, you know. What my children like to call terrestrial radio is no longer as fashionable as it used to be. But thank God there's the internet and there's satellites, and nothing is ever going to stop music.
No.
Nothing and no one. It's gonna be on the air. And who knows, maybe people in other places in the universe are listening to stuff that we recorded decades ago.
Well, I can guarantee a worldwide audience tonight. We have listeners in Australia, New Zealand, England, Ireland, and the world is discovering Izzy Chait. I want to tell everyone, as you're Googling Izzy, it's C-H-A-I-T, and you can go to his website, which is amazing. And please, Izzy, we have to do this again.
I know. This is wonderful, and I'm more than happy to do it again. And we'll talk about music or animals or all the above.
Dr. Day, what an amazing show tonight.
I know. I'm glad that Izzy decided to let us be part of his family.
Oh, my Lord.
Part of our Wild World family.
thank you.
Oh, it's been great. We want to remind everybody that next week on the show, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, and one thing we did mention, Izzy, was that you have a degree in anthropology.
I do, and I study cultures. When I was a kid, I was sort of an expert in the Northwest Coast and some other primitive tribes. So one of the things that I love, and I love ethnomusicology, music from all over the world.
Yes. Well, amazing guest. Once again, a wonderful job done by Dr. Henry Day, Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, Scott Carney for putting the music together for us. Izzy, God bless you, man. It's great to have you on the show. We're going to do this again. We have to.
Okay. Okay. We're on.
Thank you, Izzy.
We're on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Folks, have a great
week. Keep up the good
work. Yes. And you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.